You're listening to Vatican Radio. Pope Francis arrives in the Armenian capital Yerevan on Friday for his 14th foreign pastoral visit. He'll be spending 3 days in the country, travelling to the nearby town of Etchmiadzin, seat of the Armenian Apostolic Church, as well as to the northern city of Gyumri and to the famous Kyor Virap Monastery on the border with Turkey. Armenia was the first country to adopt Christianity as its state religion at the beginning of the 4th century, and the great majority of people in the country today belong to the Armenian Apostolic Church, which is part of the Oriental Orthodox family. Relations with other Christian communities, including the small Armenian Catholic and Roman Catholic churches, are very good, and Pope Francis will be focusing on the importance of ecumenical dialogue and action at a prayer service on Saturday in Yerevan's Republic Square. To find out more, I spoke to Father John Barker, who heads the tiny Anglican community in Armenia and represents the Archbishop of Canterbury for relations with the Armenian Apostolic Church.
I have to say, I've been very positively impressed by the level of agreement and mutual understanding we have in Armenia. I'd previously been in Orthodox country situations where there was always a positive relation, but it was at the same time reserved. From the moment I arrived in Armenia, I've been made to feel really welcome by the Apostolic Church. And also my relations with the Armenian Catholic and the Roman Catholic Church in Armenia. There are two branches, but in both cases, excellent and positive relation. We have a very good working relationship. And in addition, for example, I was invited to lead an ecumenical mass in the Armenian Apostolic Church. And I think I was the first time a non-Armenian Apostolic had presided at a mass in an Armenian church. So and we're given use of an Armenian church every week for our Anglican worship. So a very, very warm and positive relationship.
So in this context then, what kind of message do you think people are expecting from Pope Francis on this visit?
I think there's a dual hope. I'm sure there will be a hope that the genocide of 101 years ago will be recognized and will be brought back into the public attention. But I think just as importantly, there's a hope that it will show again that we have the potential to speak as one Christian voice, irrespective of whether we come from an apostolic background or a Roman Catholic background or an Anglican background.
Armenia was, of course, the first country to embrace the Christian faith as the state religion. What kind of role do the churches play there today? What kind of voice do they have in public life?
I would say a very significant voice. It's something like 95-96% of the population are nominally apostolic. And of those, I would say at least half are actively worshipping from week to week in apostolic churches. So the church does represent society to quite a significant extent. And not only in Armenia, there are diaspora communities in almost every country of the world. There are Armenia diaspora. And in those countries, the apostolic church is a very important part of their sort of maintaining their national awareness and identity. So the church is very much part of day-to-day life for Armenians in Armenia and abroad.
As you mentioned, there is a huge diaspora, and particularly in the countries of the Middle East. What kind of impact does the conflicts, the persecutions that are going on there in the Middle East have on ordinary people in Armenia itself? What kind of effect does it have on the life of people there today?
Well, it's a significant impact because we are receiving into Armenia significant numbers of refugees, but there are different type of refugee to what we're seeing entering the different European countries. Our refugees are mainly Armenians, ethnic Armenians, but Armenians who would never have dreamt of leaving their home countries if they'd been able to stay without fear of death and persecution. So we're getting people who are mainly arriving with their own possessions. They bring as much as they can carry, and normally they would drive from, I'm talking mainly about from Syria and Iraq. So they're not totally hopeless and helpless, but they are having to start a new life. And this means that the Armenians have got to find a place for them in society, provide housing, and share jobs and business opportunities with them, because everybody who comes wants to be able to make a living. So there is a real impact. And the other interesting thing is that the diaspora Armenians are not speaking the same type of Armenian as Armenians in this country, because dialects change. There's Western Armenian and Eastern Armenian. And so, for example, a number of Syrian Armenians are coming to worship with us because they understand an English liturgy better than a traditional Armenian liturgy in their own apostolic church. So it's having an effect in all sorts of ways. You know, some of them a little bit funny and the majority of them very, very serious.
You mentioned the other key aspect of this trip, and that will be Pope Francis's visit to the memorial for the 1.5 million Armenians killed by the Ottoman Turks 100 years ago. Pope Francis, of course, has already called this the first genocide of the 20th century. What exactly are people expecting, do you think, from this moment, this key moment of the trip?
I think they would hope he would repeat that statement on Armenian soil, and he will visit the genocide memorial. And I think if he's going to do it, that would be the occasion when he would. I think it would give them emotional peace. You know, the political statement has been made. I think to hear it from Pope Francis in Armenia would psychologically be of great comfort to them, because Armenians in general feel not totally understood in international communities, because, of course, politics gets mixed up with historical facts. And I think it would be very comforting for them if just to receive Pope Francis, and the icing on the cake would be if he confirms his view again in their own country.
There are, of course, today no survivors, direct survivors of that genocide. What kind of importance does this event still have, would you say, in the public consciousness of the country and in individual people's lives?
I'm not too sure about individual people's lives. I think with respect to individual lives, it's mainly the diaspora who feel that, because they're living, you know, Australia, America, Germany, Britain, wherever, and they would have been very happily living in what is now Turkey and parts of Syria if it hadn't been for the genocide. So I think for the Armenians, it's much more, it's part of their identity. And so every year, and you know, last year was particularly special, but every year that I've been here, when we have the Genocide Memorial Day, you know, literally millions of people go to the Genocide Memorial, each with a flower or a bunch of flowers, and we end up with a wall of flowers that is, you know, 2-3 meters high and 2 meters wide in a circle all around the eternal flame. And that confirms that it's a part of the national consciousness.
As you say, it's also an extremely political issue, and Pope Francis's words are likely to raise tensions again with Turkey, your giant neighbour there. Mm-hmm. What kind of effect will this have, do you think? Are there concerns about this?
No more than it has been and is. Last year was particularly tense, particularly around the month of April. And now there is just an acceptance that there is a very big neighbour who has a totally different opinion. And of course, Armenians believe that opinion is wrong. But I don't think there's any expectation of making any dramatic, significant changes. It's just a matter of living with that consciousness and with that knowledge.
The other area of conflict, of course, for Armenians is the tensions with Azerbaijan over Nagorno-Karabakh. And again, the Pope has made statements calling for resolution, calling for dialogue. Do you think there is anything that the Vatican or in the churches can do to try and help ease these tensions, overcome this particular conflict?
Well, it certainly can't do any harm. And in that respect, the timing of the Pope's visit, you know, coincidentally, or God incidentally, I would prefer to say, it's very opportune, because we had an outbreak of fighting around the time of our Easter, and things have been pretty tense since, and the different international agencies and countries are working very hard to calm tensions down. And the Pope's presence, I feel certain, will only help the diplomatic efforts to persuade the two neighbours to resolve their differences without the need for fighting.